Unafraid. Uninfluenced. Unleashed. You're listening to American Unleashed.
Welcome to American Unleashed, and here it is my job to make you mad. It is my job to get you riled up. It is my job to challenge what you think you know. Because I'm going to tell you right off the bat what no other talking head will tell you. I don't want you to believe me. I don't want you to listen to every word I say and go to your friends and say, well, I heard so-and-so say this on a podcast, so it must be true. I don't want that. The talking heads do that to you all the time, and it's not fair to you, the American people, that they ask you to rely on them and their opinions, which is what a lot of it is, for what's going on in our world. I want you to get outside your comfort zone, get outside what you normally believe in, and I want you to listen to opinions that are not yours. One of the main problems we've got in this country is people who simply listen to the opinions that agree with them, and we've got to get away from that. I'm not going to do that to you. So I'm going to make you one promise to start this show. I'm going to piss off every single one of you at some point in this broadcast. Not today, not tomorrow, not next week, but sooner or later, I'm going to make you mad. I'm going to make you curse me. I'm going to make you ninja star your cell phone into a wall because you're so mad at something I just said. And I want it that way because I want you outside your comfort zone. The media, the corrupt, those people want you in your comfort zone. That is why they are constantly feeding you all of these fluff stories and pieces about Beyonce recording a cowboy song and all this nonsense. Justin Bieber changed his hair color. Oh my God, did you see what Taylor Swift is wearing this week? They're doing this on purpose because it's not news. It's not real. It's fluff. Back in the day, I can tell you, nobody gave a rip what color hat Frank Sinatra was wearing when he recorded a song. It was just really cool that he had the dadgum hat tilted. But today, I'm asking you to look at facts. You're not listening to this show for music. You're not listening to this show for books and cartoons and anime and all these other great podcasts that are out there. And we've got some good ones here on the Branson Podcast Network. But the fact is, you're turning into the show because you want to hear about politics and you want to hear about what's going on in the world. I'm not going to sugarcoat anything for you people. Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory may be my favorite movie of all time, but I'm not going to sugarcoat a damn thing for any of you. Not for any reason and not for any way. That's not what I do. I'm not good at it anyway. I'm good at making people mad. I've got a ton of people I can give you the names of who can tell you how good I am at making them mad. So what we're going to start with, we're going to talk a little bit about what this program is about. Our goal on this show is for you to put freedom first. You're going to see it on a shirt. You might see it on a hat. You might see it on who knows what. You're going to see it on our webpage, and you're going to see it on our Facebook. And our Facebook, by the way, is American Unleashed. And so I want you to go there. I want to hear your questions. I want to hear your opinions. If you want to call me a name, you go right ahead. But what I really want to hear from you is your opinion. I want to hear from you. I don't want to hear what Glenn Beck said. I don't want to hear what Rachel Maddow said. I don't want to know what The View said. I don't want to know what Saturday Night Live said. I want to know what you think. I want to know what you believe in on each of the subjects that we talk about and that we post on there and that we talk about on this show, because each time we're going to talk about a different subject. This week, the show is simply called The Syllabus, because we're going to go over the basics. I'm going to tell you a little about myself. I'm going to tell you why I'm on here making this argument and why I can. I'm going to tell you a little bit about where we're going to go with all the different subjects, because believe me, I got a good list already going for all the topics we're going to do. The next show we're going to do is going to be about words and language. And you think, why in the world? I understand words. I know what the words mean. Well, do you? And let's be honest, that's a legitimate question today, and it's a scary question to have to ask a civilized nation, but do you really know the meaning? And I'm going to associate this with a little bit of sports. I'm a guy, we love sports. If you're a sports fan, and someone says, well, what's wrong with baseball today? And if one of your top three answers is not, well, we're missing fundamentals, then you're honestly probably not the baseball fan you think you are. And that's one of the main things we're missing in civics and politics today, is we don't know the fundamentals. And the talking heads and the media and these other people, especially the corrupt politicians, don't want you to know the meaning. They want you to know what they want you to think is the meaning. So the next episode, we're going to talk very directly about the words, the phrases, the language that people use today. You know, I will never forget every day today. I will come along and at 5, 6, 7 times a week, I will be online and I'll be having a quote-unquote discussion with someone. And they come back with, okay, boomer. And they literally think they won the argument with those two words. They think they've accomplished something. I can just envision them sitting there in their chairs in mom's basement, patting themselves on the back, slipping up another Mountain Dew or an energy drink, and saying, "Wow, didn't I just show him?" No, you didn't. What you showed me is you don't know the basic meanings of words, and you don't know the main basic ways of discussion. And that's what we have to do in today's society. We've got to talk. We've got to gather. We've got to get together. Have you noticed that there has not been a major political rally in Washington, D.C. since January 6, 2021? How many of you realize that? There's a reason for it. And it has nothing to do with what did or did not or supposedly or may not have happened on January 6, 2021. They wanted to break those up. They don't want us getting together. They don't want us talking amongst ourselves. They want us listening to the TV. They want us listening to the politicians. They want us listening to their so-called experts. And I'm going to give you a lot of stuff, and you're going to come back, and you're just going to think, my gosh, that guy's got a tinfoil hat on, and it's about four sizes too small. That's fine. You're welcome to think that of me. I have no problem with it, because a lot of the stuff that people have been telling me have been conspiracy theories for the last 5, 6, 7, 8 years have come true. And it's a little scary. But we're also going to have fun on here. I'm going to joke around. I'm going to do crazy voices. We're going to do all kinds of weird stuff. And it's once in a while I'm going to use a sad nickname for somebody like somebody does. I'm going to refer to Rachel Maddow as Rachel Mad Cow, or I'm going to refer to the women on The View as the hags. But then again, let's be honest. Once in a while some of these people give us reason. I'm going to refer to Glenn Beck as Glenn Beckerhead, because once in a while he gives us reason with these fake crying spells. I've been around a lot of great actors. I've worked on some movie sets, and I can tell you right now, the man's a really crummy actor. Let's not forget, before September 11th, 2001, Glenn Beck was a failed comedian. He was not a political pundit. He was not a political commentator. But all of a sudden, he had this huge change of heart. And if he really, truly did, then my apologies to Glenn Beck. I will happily walk up, shake his hand, make apologies, and tell him what a great guy he is. But I'll be honest with you, something about the guy I just do not trust. And the reason is, I have people come up to me all the time, online, in person, that I've talked to, and they've said, "Well, I heard Glenn Beck say it, so that's good with me." And if that's as far as you're going with your discussion, you probably should not be in the political discussion at all. If that's as far as you're going to go with your research and your study on a topic, you're really not grown up enough for the topic. I'm challenging you to go outside your comfort zone. I'm asking you to go and listen to opinions you don't like, and take the consideration that, oh my gosh, could he possibly be right? Could the person possibly be correct? That is the challenge I'm going to put out to each and every one of you every single week when I come on here, when we talk about the different subjects. We are going to talk about what has been built up to be, although it's probably not, the most radical, divisive, insane topic in the history of America: abortion. Now, what it is, it's a personal choice issue. That's really what it boils down to, is the choices that a person makes within their own life. What someone chooses in that moment is not going to radically affect the entire world. It is not an earth-shattering issue that they want you to think it is, but they use it in such a way in the media that every time it comes up, they make you think that this is the one issue that's going to destroy the whole world. And it's just not that way. We've got so many bigger things going on than whether somebody decided to have unprotected sex or not. And don't, please, please, don't come at me and say, "Well, what about rape and incest?" And apparently when you come up to me with that, you obviously haven't even looked up the statistics, where it's an insanely small amount of people who fit into that category. And I've got a much more radical opinion on that than most people on the quote-unquote right. I think every one of those cases should be taken on a case-by-case basis, involving a judge to give you the legal aspect, or a lawyer, the family, a professional psychiatrist, psychologist preferably, who knows human behavior, who can work with the victim or the person involved, and then the persons involved, whether it be a man and a woman or be the victim of a rape, to decide what happens with that individual person. And you're not going to get that from anybody on the right. They're going to say, "Oh, no, it's always wrong. God wants that child to be born." That's an insane statement. Just as insane as these people who sit there and say, "Oh, well, I want abortion on demand. I don't care how far along. I don't care." It is the radicals on either end of this thing, on any subject, that are destroying about every subject we've got and every subject we can come up with. I'm not going to lie. I'm going to be a lot more. I've been a lot more serious here than I intended to be. I intended to come on here, do some crazy voices, get your attention, and go nuts. But the fact is, we're at a point right now where if our founding fathers were here, they would not be causing a January 1st, 2021. They would not be throwing this or that. We'd already be way past that point. If our founding fathers were here, they'd be stacking bodies over in the corner by now. And that's just the truth. Our founding fathers told us that if we ever got to a point in government where it is so tyrannical and so out of whack that the people are being forgotten for the sake of corruption, greed, control, and all these other things that these lifetime politicians do, we're supposed to tear the entire thing down by whatever means necessary and start over. That went on not just from our founding fathers, but all the way up to Abraham Lincoln, who talked about it quite a bit. And we're going to talk about that on shows. We're going to do a whole show about the talking heads. On both sides of the aisle, we're going to talk about Glenn Beck and Tucker Carlson and Dan Bongino. Plus, we're going to talk about The View, Jimmy Kimmel, Rachel Maddow, Chris Tingling Matthew. I don't know if is Chris still tingling. Can somebody tell me that? I don't know if his leg's still tingling or not. He never told us it quit, so I don't know where that's at. We're going to talk about the power of responsibility. We're going to talk about responsibility and ego. We're going to do a whole show on the government and the people and the differences between the two. We're going to do a show on basic logic, common sense, reason. And you think, my gosh, these are easy subjects. How can we talk? Are they? Think about some of the things you hear people say on television and tell me how close that is to reason. I don't care what side they're coming from. I mean, I will admit, I am a very much American conservative. I consider myself an American. First and foremost, I put freedom first. On everything, every issue, I think about it directly as that. What in this issue puts freedom first, period. And so I will use examples sometimes that are from the other side. And two of the people that immediately come to mind is, number one, there was this boy, and yes, he was a boy because this is the way he was acting. He was sitting in the middle of the street during the inauguration of Donald Trump. He was wearing glasses, a knit cap, a backpack, and he's just sitting there in a fetal position screaming, no. And I mean, he sounded like Tanya Harding after a leg strike. I mean, it was just, or was it Nancy Kerrigan's the one she hit? That's right. So it's like, if you've ever heard of that video, she's just, why? Well, there's this kid, no. He could not figure out a rational, constructive argument why Donald Trump should not be president. What is he doing? He's sitting in the middle of the street in the fetal position screaming no. Over and over and over. Then we have video of a woman who, I don't know what to call her. She had her head shaved. She's wearing a tank top. She had, and first of all, I have no problem with tattoos and piercings and all that stuff. But when you have them to the point where you look like something out of a science fiction movie, it goes a little extreme. And the video is of her, and she's wearing a pair of what looked like military boots. Probably they look more like Eastern European or something like that than Americans. And she's jumping up and down and just screaming at the top of her lungs. And that's all she's doing. She's not even screaming a word. She's just screaming as loud as she can. She's rolling her head around like a human bobblehead. And you're trying to figure... I saw that video and I'm like, what is her point? What side is she on? I couldn't even figure out the issue until I really got into the article and started reading about it as to what she was so on about. And so those are just two of the images that immediately come up there. And I know people will sit there and they'll say, well, there have been images of people who get online and on television, they talk about Donald Trump is the next coming of the Messiah and all that, and which is all nonsense. If the best you can do is start making comments about the quote-unquote orange Messiah, you're also not educated or old enough for the discussion. And the same with people who immediately want to sit there and talk about God on everything. Well, that's God's plan. That's God's choice. That's all this. I have no problem with whatever you want to believe in your faith. But when it comes to factual issues that we're dealing with today, we need to stick within the structural parts of that issue. We need to deal with accurate history. We need to deal with the substance of the issue. And that's what we're going to deal with on this show. And we're going to do a whole set of shows, five different shows, on the five freedoms of the First Amendment. And then we're going to do one strictly about the law. We're going to talk about lawyers. We're going to talk about defense lawyers. I'm going to tell you something about defense lawyers you probably didn't even know. Did you know that it actually originally was not their job to get their client off of charges, guilty or not? that it was only their job to get the client off if they actually were innocent. If they were guilty, it was their job to negotiate the best deal that served justice. But we're going to get into that into detail. Like I said, we're going to do a show on the Talking Heads. We're going to talk about abortions. And yes, my gosh, we're in the black hole of the Bible Belt. We're here in Branson, Missouri, and I'm going to do a show about sex. You ready to talk about that? You better be, because we're going to go through it. Now, we're going to start every show from here out with some news of the day as we start out. About the first 10 or 15 minutes, we'll talk about that. We can talk a little bit about it today. We can talk about the Supreme Court decision that has so many people's heads exploding. 9 Supreme Court justices agreeing for the first time since, you know, what they wanted to order on their pizza one day, which was probably 80 years ago because somebody didn't want to eat meat, agreed that these bans of Donald Trump on the ballot were unconstitutional. And folks, there was a collective sigh of duh across this country when that came through, because anybody who's ever even bothered to look at our United States Constitution understood that that was about as illegal as it gets. But it does give you the frame of mind that some people are in their fear of someone with a different opinion running for office. Now, I'm going to take a break here and talk a little about Donald Trump. I've been following Donald Trump since the 80s. And I'll tell you a story. Back in, I think it was 1987, I had a Trans Am. I'm sitting outside a little bookstore in Springfield, Missouri called Heritage Bookstore. It was a family-owned set of bookstores in Springfield. I think they had about 4 of them at one time. But back then, like a lot of the companies, they would feed these family stores product before they would send it to Walmart or before they would send it to the national retailers. And so Heritage Bookstore was getting a book about 3 days before the big timers were, and it was called The Art of the Deal by Donald Trump. And this is back when he was a real sensation in the media. He was a big media darling. People just, they worshipped him business-wise and everything else. I was a huge fan. So I was sitting there waiting for this book to come in. And they literally opened the store about 15 minutes early for me. And I went in the back, and I actually carried the box out there for the lady who ran the store. Because, you know, a big box full of books. I didn't want her to carry it. So helped her cut it open. She gets ready to start stacking the books on the racks. And she just gives me the first one out of the box. I go up, and I pay for it, and I go out. So as far as I know, technically speaking, I bought the first copy of Art of the Deal sold in the city of Springfield. That's how long I've been following Donald Trump. And I can tell you right now, I've had some times where I realize that business-wise, the man is, without question, and if you do question it, you probably just don't know enough about business, but there are a lot of ways the man is a business genius. It is that simple. But I've also seen a lot of things with Donald Trump that has absolutely disgusted me, that I didn't like. I don't like the fact that the man probably can't even spell the word monogamy, and he's not shown any real faith to any of his wives. I do not like that. And he's made an awful lot of other mistakes. He made plenty of mistakes as president. Anybody who takes that office is going to make mistakes. It's part of any job you take. You're never going to walk into a job and do it perfectly, especially when you are the quote-unquote leader of the free world. So he is no messiah to me. I may be a supporter. I may be rooting for him in this election, but that does not mean I worship him in any way, shape, or form. The man has got plenty of flaws. We can go through them sometime if you want. But the fact is, he's a businessman. He showed in his 4 years that a businessman can run this country far better than any career politician has done in the last 25-plus years, probably close to 50 years even, because even Reagan had his flaws. He did a pretty nice job. He had a lot of big major mistakes. There is no question there. He shut down the asylums. He shut down this and that. He had the Iran-Contra scandal. Plenty of things the man did wrong. But the simple fact is either Donald Trump or Ronald Reagan still did a better job of running this country than Jimmy Carter, Bill Clinton, Barack Obama, and Joe Biden stacked on top of each other. It's just the truth. Now, one of the things we need to talk about in this is we talk about eras. We talk about time. Because 50 years ago, things were entirely different than they are today. Today, we have instant access to information. We have the internet. We have our cell phones. The media has constant feeds in and out of every office you can think of in our government. And so we find out things instantly, and decisions happen instantly. 50 years ago, if a president made a decision, sometimes it would take months, even years, for that decision and those actions to take effect. So policies that were started by Ronald Reagan that ended up being successful ended up in the Clinton administration, and Bubba Bill was more than happy to take credit for a surplus in our budget. He was more than happy to take credit for all these programs that were working so well, but almost all of them were programs that were initiated under the Reagan administration because it simply took time back then. Today, it's a new game. It's a new situation. It might be the same office, but it's a new style of doing it because of the information superhighway that we have and the fact that we have all these instant ways of discussing things. Today, there are a dozen ways that the President of the United States can talk to the President of Russia. Back in the day, they had one telephone line that ran across the bottom of the Atlantic, and sometimes the dadgum thing just wasn't working. You can go back and you can watch it in movies where they say, oh, let's get the President on the hotline to Moscow. Psh, down for repairs. Oh my gosh, how's he going to talk to him? We think that's nuts today. Why? He just picks up another cell phone and he calls him, or he gets him on a radio or something like that, or he gets on the internet and they have a Skype. Wouldn't that be joyful? Have a Zoom meeting with all these world leaders, which they've done. So one of the things we're going to talk about, I think it's on the next episode next week, is we're going to talk about history and civics. I'm sorry, the next week is language. Third week is history and civics. And the reason we're going back to these basics is because if you talk to a sports fan, and again, if they don't tell you that one of the things that's missing from their sport is fundamentals, they really don't know it. And fundamentals is what we are missing in America. So we're going to go back to the basics on so many things. And I'm going to teach you how to study history. And you think, well, I know how to do that. I pick up a book and I read it. Well, no, it's not really that simple, because you need to understand that there are certain issues, like understanding how times and eras change, how people change, how communication has changed, how it was at one point, I think we can all agree today, slavery is bad. There's no way to defend slavery. But at one point in history, at many points, and from that point behind history, it was normal. You had servants working in your home the same way today that we have refrigerators and toasters and all this other stuff. It was just part of life. And they didn't realize at the time how bad it was or that it was wrong. It was just literally part of the daily life. And before you get into, well, this group and that group, I'm going to tell you what, just look into history and you will see that every different kind of person, every different race, creed, color, belief were slaves at one point in history somewhere at some point in time. And that's just a fact, and we're going to go over that when we talk about history. You know, we're going to talk about how you don't throw blankets whenever you can avoid it. One of my favorite fields of study is psychology. And it just appalls me when they say, oh, well, that's depression. We're going to treat depression all the same way. We're going to treat everybody the same way with all this. Well, that's impossible. You can't do that because we are all different people. We have different personalities. We react to things differently. So try to avoid throwing blankets. I know once in a while it's going to seem like I do that when I blame, well, the left is this and the left that, or the religious right this and the religious right. But I'm going to give you very specific indications of why that's being done when I do it, instead of just doing it and saying, well, I'm the expert, that's how it is, please go away, which a lot of them do. I'm not going to do that to you. If you got a question, you got a comment, you get on our Facebook, American Unleashed, and I want you to ask. Don't get on there and call me names. I'm going to tell you right now, if you get on there and call me names, your comment will be deleted. If you get on there and you make some wild accusation statement and then you block us to keep us from applying to you, your message will be deleted. I want you to grow up, be an adult, and I'm really going to cuss on this show, but I'm going to do it right here. Don't be a chicken shit. If you're going to go to that page and you're going to make a comment, you leave us available to reply to you. Or you're not grown up enough for the conversation. You really aren't. Because I've had plenty of people, I had four people do it in the last week, and my page right now is very, very small. There's not a lot of people on there. I'm hoping to, and I'm not doing this to build that up, but I want to build it up because I want us to talk to one another. And I don't mind going over certain things here. If you don't, always got a show coming up on abortion. I want to talk about this because I went through this. That's fine. And some people who have not been through certain situations, do have certain opinions. I've never had an abortion myself, but I was adopted. Well, if the laws were as easy and as weak back then as they are today, I probably would not be here. And I've literally had people on the other side say, oh, the world would have been a better place if that had happened. Really? That's your comeback? Do you have any idea how hateful that is to say that to another human being simply because you disagree with them about something? To the best of my knowledge, I've never done that to someone I disagree with. I've said it about people who have committed certain crimes, that I believe warrant capital punishment after a trial, a fair trial of the jury of their peers. But I've never once in my life, as far as I know, said that person disagrees with me. They ought to just be thrown off a cliff. They should have never existed. That's wrong. I don't go in for this whole... Remember that scene in the Avengers where Rhodey says, well, let's just go back in time and find Thanos when he was a baby and, you know, just wrap the cord around the neck and all that. I don't do that. And, you know, he might have deserved it, but I still haven't found anybody on this earth, with a few exceptions, we have some, who probably do come close to it. But either way, in my opinion, I don't care how bad someone is, they still should have the fundamental right to a jury of their peers. But if the evidence is found to be a certain way, a certain punishment should be carried out, no matter how dark or horrible some people might think that is. And I know it sounds like I'm all over the place here, but this is the first episode. We are kind of all over the place. I've talked about a little bit about Donald Trump, talked a little about how we're going to go through some definitions. Next week, we're actually going to go through the specific definitions of freedom, liberty, right, and responsibility. And one of the things I'm going to bring in here for my producer to give you a word on is I use old school dictionaries. I think they were published in 1962. Three volumes of them. Each one of them is probably 20 pounds. The printing on them is almost too small even for my reading glasses. I mean, it's like itty-bitty stuff. But it's very old school, very basic, very common sense definitions of words, and we're going to go use those when we talk about different issues. We're going to use real definitions. We're not going to use trendy definitions. Trendy definitions are no good, because what they do is they change them from issue to issue, from time to time, to place for whatever fits their narrative at the time. And that, people, is an abomination towards language. And we cannot have that, because we have to have a certain language to communicate, and communication is key to what we need to do to fix this country. Whoever we put in office, we've got to communicate. We've got to fix these issues. We've got to stop calling each other names, and we've got to sit and talk about what is best overall and what is legal and what puts freedom first. I'm going to run that phrase, freedom first, into the ground. If you see me out, you may see me with a jersey with that words on it. You may see me with a ball cap with that on it. Donald Trump didn't go far enough with the America first bit. Freedom first is where we need to go, because true freedom means that my freedoms are mine and mine alone, but I have certain freedoms to do these things without question, as long as they do not impinge on your freedoms. Now, the second your freedom starts to infringe on mine, then it's no longer freedom. Same with mine going your way. And if we really learn to look at it that way, we're gonna get along better to start with. But we're also going to go over the fact that freedom first comes at a price. And that price is four basic things. Education, you got to know your subject. Vigilance, you've got to be vigilant over the issues you believe in. I'm not asking you to stay educated on every single little thing in the world. We can't do that. There's not enough time in the day. Then there's responsibility. We have a responsibility as American citizens to be vigilant. We have a responsibility to be educated. And we also have a responsibility to the final part of this, and that is accountability. We need to hold those accountable who do infringe on freedom and who do violate the law and who do things that are not right for freedom first. As far as myself goes, I'm you. I'm the construction worker. I'm the cop. I'm the donut guy. I'm all these people. That's what I'm here to represent, because I'm not one of the talking heads. I'm not being paid by some sponsor to say this or that. I'm not being influenced by some political party to say this or that, because I've been kicked out of both groups on both sides. I worked in politics back in the 2000s for about 6 or 7 years. Worked with campaigns, worked with a lot of big-name political figures. And the fact is I got fed up with everybody. I got out of it because, and I do not mean this literally, but I really felt like, if I don't get out of this, I'm going to kill myself or somebody else. And again, I don't mean that literally, but it was just one of those things. I instantly became the coyote on the Roadrunner show. I just wanted to drop a piano on somebody, even if it was myself. And so I had to get out of it. One of the other things I did was I quit with all the cable news channels. First of all, they are not news channels anymore, every single one of them. And no, I don't care which one's your favorite. They are all some form of a propaganda machine these days. They are telling you what either a politician wants you to hear, or a political party wants you to hear, or a sponsor wants you to hear, or this or that and the other one. They're all telling you half-truths, and a lot of times in today's society, outright lies, 24/7, 365. So I'm going to ask you to turn them off. I want to see the ratings for all these supposed news channels fall to nothing. I want people to invade their local libraries again. I want to see you ordering books on Amazon's where I want your mailman to have a crick in his back from carrying all these books to your house. Or at least he calls you up and makes you help carry them in from the house, from the truck, which you ought to be willing to do anyway since you ordered them. I was kicked out of the GOP, at least a part of it. There's a group called the Pachyderm Club. The Pachyderm Club is supposed to be the conservative arm of the Republican Party. And I joined that because of what it was. And so I was doing the duty of what the group was supposed to be. And I was calling out Republicans just like I was Democrats and anybody else who was violating the trust of the people and violating the freedom first type of mentality. Well, someone in the group decided that wasn't very good. You can't call out our own party. Duh, that's our job. That's what we're supposed to do in this part of the group. We may be named after an elephant, but we're a watchdog group intent on keeping a watch on the Republican Party and make sure they stay to their conservative values. And so many of these people weren't, and I was calling them out for it. And one of the other members of the group decided I needed to go. So he convinced a lot of other people and said, well, you know, you're always criticizing the party, you're doing this. And so they got me out. So I got out of that one. To look at me, you wouldn't know it, but I am a former scuba diver. I have a lot of issues that I believe in that are environmental and conservational, especially when it comes to sharks, sea turtles, and our coral reefs. I'm a heavy believer in it. I tried joining groups that were supposed to be protecting these things, but because I would not toe the line for the full global warming narrative, they ran me out. And you're going to sit there and say, well, 97% of scientists in the world have decided that global warming's real. Well, no, actually, they haven't. Let me tell you where that number came from, and I'll give you an idea what we're going to talk about when we talk about global warming versus climate change. They are two different subjects, not the same thing. And this is also how the media manipulates you. That 97% was put together because what they did was they went through every scientist, and they said, well, okay, we'll take all the scientists who completely believe the global warming narrative, and we'll say that was 27%. Well, then we're going to take the group who says, well, they may not believe the whole thing, but they believe the coral reefs are in jeopardy, and that's 20%. So we're going to add that together. Oh, my gosh, we got 47% of scientists are already saying global warming is real. Well, then you add 3% for the sharks and 10% for the spotted owls and 4% for the rainbow dung beetle and all these other things that they come up with. And chemtrails and everything else, and they add all those numbers up, and oh my gosh, 97% of the world's scientists believe global warming is real. It's caused by man. We're all going to die. I've been on this planet for 53 years, and so far I have lived through several Armageddons, including in the late 70s, early 80s, when, my God, we were going to lose all the trees. You know this? We're going to lose all the trees because of paper bags at the grocery store. If we don't quit using paper bags and start using plastic bags, my God, the world is going to end. We're not going to breathe because there's not going to be air because we're going to run out of the trees. Yet today, what are we doing? We need to use paper bags because it's biodegradable. Okay, plastic bags, those are just evil. And they change it all the time. I've been through so many of these things. Now I remember 3 years ago in Springfield when I lived up there, we started having rolling brownouts. Because we had to save the grid. Oh my gosh, we're running out of electricity, and we can't go through this. And so we're going to take these times where you're going to have an hour where your garage door won't work, your computer won't work, you won't be able to microwave anything. Hope you don't have anything too risky in the fridge that might spoil in an hour. Which this part of the country, some of the leftovers some of us keep, you never know. And so we had starting these deals where once in a while for an hour, the power would go out in Springfield. These had started years before that out in California and on the East Coast and other places. And yet, all of a sudden, we get this huge push for electric cars. And somebody started asking, well, if we're already having brownouts, where are we going to get the power to power the electric cars? And guess what happened the next day? Nobody was having rolling brownouts anywhere. They disappeared. This is what the media has been doing to people for 50 years, folks. We're going to talk about it. We're going to expose it. We're going to get it out there. Because once they keep coming up with this stuff. I've talked about the different groups. I've talked about all this. There was a news talk channel in Springfield, still is, KSGF. Good people, some of them there. But at one point, they had another guy there, and he started a group. And they met in the back of a sub shop. They came up with this cool little name called the Young Conservatives of America. Sounds like a teenage version of the Justice League, almost. And they had a great plan. Well, some people got me involved, and I was big on Facebook, or early Facebook, and what at the time, MySpace. Oh, my gosh, you remember that one? Find that one at a local Branson antique store somewhere, I'm sure. And I use social media to go from 25 people in the back of a sub shop to 300-plus people in the hall of the Knights of Columbus every week, 250 to 300 people. And we had so many wonderful people working with that. Well, one night, the guy from the radio station who I got to start of the group decided that, well, he needed to run all this. His opinion is what we needed to go by. He's the one who needed to be the leader. His voice was the only one that we should be following. And ironically enough, after he left, his new podcast is called Jericho Only, because his is the only voice he wants to hear. Destroyed the group in one night. And all I did the next day was I posted a question online. I said, what did everybody think about last night's meeting? I didn't say, well, what do you think about Jericho's meltdown, or what did you think about, oh my gosh, wasn't Vince heroic in taking over and taking charge? My God, I thought a cape was going to burst out of his back at any minute. I just asked. I said, what did everybody think of the meeting last night? I get a phone call. What are you doing? Sitting at my computer. No, I mean the question, what are you doing? Asking a question. Well, who are you to ask that question? Well, I'm on the board of directors for the group. I've got a right to ask the question. I'm not taking sides on it. It's just a simple question. What do you think? Well, I don't think you need to be asking those kind of questions, and I think if you're going to ask those kind of questions, you don't need to be involved anymore, so don't bother coming back. That quickly, that abrupt. Okay. I can do that. Because one of the things I learned a long time ago is when you're around toxic people and you finally figure out just how toxic they are, you get those people out of your lives. Whatever level they're with you, whatever level they're a part of you, you get those toxic people out of your life, and you do it as quickly as possible, because when you figure it out, they're just going to drag you down. And unfortunately, some of these people are our friends. Some of these people can even be family. But we just live in a day where we can still love them from afar, but we just say it's not going to be a part of us anymore. And with that, and with some other things, I got out of the political realm, because, like I said before, I was going to drop a piano on somebody. Cartoon piano. Any of you lawyers listening out there, cartoon piano. Nothing was actually going to be done, or going to be. And I had to start thinking to myself, what do I want to do? So I got back into real estate, I got back into other things, but I also could not help paying attention to everything that's going on in the world. And so I kept up with reading about what everything is going on. I would just read about this and that. And one of the things I would do is I would take the topic and I would get the general ideas from the stories, and then I would say, okay, TV goes off, this goes off, the internet goes off, whatever I got the idea from, and I go to the books. I go to the library, I go to the history, I go to the origins of where the issue came from. I look at who's saying what on which side. I look at who's paying for what study. I look at where the origin, where did this study come from? Well, the study's from California in this one specific lab. Well, have they ever said anything to the contrary? No. Okay, we know that they take a side. And it's really bad, because ever since working in that political realm, I've had days where I'm like, I wish I'd never done that. I wish I was still sitting there eating popcorn like the people in the Colosseum watching the Christians being thrown to the lions, which is basically where society is now. We have a lot of people sitting in those stands who have no idea what's going on in the world. They're eating popcorn, they're watching these terrible things, and they still go to a voting booth, and what do? They vote for the terrible things to continue. Why? Because somebody on their television told them to. If that's the best reason you've got for a vote, then your vote is meaningless because you didn't bother to learn what the vote's about. In my opinion, if you go in and you say, okay, here's Proposition A, I haven't bothered to really look at Proposition A. I don't really know what it says. But, you know, so-and-so's for it, so I guess I'll vote for it. You shouldn't do that. If you don't know about it, you honestly ought to skip it and leave it to the people who've actually done the research. Now, saying that, I'm going to have a lot of people come, oh, you're trying to take away my right to vote. No, I'm not. I'm simply asking you to do your duty. I'm asking you to educate yourself. I'm asking you to be vigilant about the issue and what's going on in your community. I'm asking you to take responsibility for that powerful vote that you have and hold yourself accountable. Remember, we went over those four words a little while ago, and they're very important to putting freedom first. And those are the words you go through. Those are the things you go through to ask yourself, am I right or wrong on this? Because you need to question yourself. We all need to question ourselves. One of the worst problems we got out there is, oh, well, that's not fair. That's not fair. You can't tell me not to vote for that. That's not fair. Well, I hate to break it to you. Life isn't fair, nor is it supposed to be. Fairness is a myth. So you see these cars, they've got these little equals signs on them? No. Not only are we not supposed to be fair, we're not equal. Never have been. And it has nothing to do with preachers or politicians or your television or anything else. It has to do with the choices we make in our own lives. Some people are worth a little more than others in certain areas, such as money or fame, because of the choices they've made and because of the things they've done in life. Some people are less because of the choices they make in life. I'm going to value someone who goes on mission trips and helps children. I've got a friend who's in Australia right now on a mission trip, and I may not be big on the evangelical side of what he's doing, but I support him in that he is just a fine young man. He's literally, truly wanting to help people, and he's wanting to be a better person, so I support him on that. But I'm going to value his life more than I am one of these guys from Epstein's list. And boy, we're going to get into that, because why haven't we gotten all that yet? Why did it take them so long to give it to us? Do we have all the names? They have some that they're still holding back. Are there some that are more this, more that? We know one name that's probably not on the list, or else that dadgum thing had been out there. The View would have been using it as a backdrop on their television show that Donald Trump was on that list because he was on that island this number of times and all this stuff. But because he wasn't, oh my gosh, the story seems like it's vanished in a lot of ways. You've got to bring it up online, or else people don't talk about it that much. There was another big child sex scandal that came out in late 2019. A lot of people know it as Pizzagate. And they try to say, oh, well, that doesn't exist. That was made up. Oh, Pizzagate. Oh, my gosh, that's one of those conspiracy theories. Okay, then tell me what Allison Mack, one of the stars of the TV show Smallville, was convicted for and had to do time over. Look that up and figure that one out. Tell me why she did time. And then tell me that that issue is a conspiracy theory. Because there was a lot of major celebrities named in that one. Big time Hollywood music, all kinds of things named in that one. And that thing went away real quick when 2020 and that thing that shall not be named, and no, I'm not talking about Voldemort. I will talk about Voldemort. I'm not scared of Voldemort. By the way, Voldy, if you listen to Pinocchio, that nose is going to grow if you lie a little more. I saw that meme online one day. It was like, Voldemort's looking at Pinocchio going, really, all I've got to do is lie and it'll start growing? And he goes, yeah, that'll work. I love the memes people come up with online. They're so entertaining. But like I said, people choose their place in life. There's a meme that goes around online, and I'm going to reference a lot of pop culture. I'm going to reference some of these memes, and some of you are going to sit there, well, that's just a meme online. How can you take that serious? Well, because some of them actually have some validity to them, and there's one of them out there. It's a picture of three black men standing in a courtroom. And I think my producer's nodding at me like she knows the one I'm talking about, because these three black men, one's a lawyer, one's a bailiff, and the other is the criminal. All three of these people got where they are by the choices that they made. You've got Fannie, the attorney general for the state of Georgia, black woman. Nobody held her back. She's an attorney general for a state. So please tell me about oppression. Please tell me about all these things that are out there that everyone else does to someone else. No, we make these choices ourselves. I go to these events where they take people and they say, okay, we're going to have a foot race, but we're going to start in different positions. So if you go through this, if you were raised in a single family, you get to start a little farther back. If you were born this race, you get to start a little farther back. If you were born this way, you get to start a little forward. And all they're doing is reaffirming these myths. We make the choices we make in life. If you choose to do drugs early in life and drop out of high school, if you choose to have sex and get pregnant early in high school and have to drop out, those are the choices you made. And it might be from a person who was young and uneducated and not knowing all this stuff, but you still made the choices. And we all make choices, bad choices in life. I can give you a big list of bad choices I made in my life. I'm a former drunk. Believe me, I got a police record I can show you. And I'm not proud of it, but I also don't ignore it, and I don't deny it, and I don't blame it. I did it to myself. Nobody held me down and poured alcohol down my throat. I did that myself. But I also decided enough is enough, and I quit. I've got over 7 years away from the booze now. So we do what we do to ourselves. So all this talk about life not being fair and, oh, people aren't equal, well, that's because we do these things to ourselves. We make these choices to put ourselves in the place we are in life. But change can happen to anybody. Any of you can do it. But I'm going to tell you right now, change does not start anywhere within your comfort zone. Change starts when you step outside your comfort zone. Change is when you learn something new. It's when you take a risk. Change happens when you change an idea, when you look at something and say, oh my gosh, I was wrong. I need to take a look at that again. That's when change and growth happen. And that is when you become better, and that's when you become more grown up, and that is when you become more of a productive and good citizen of the United States, and you start being a part of Freedom First. And I'm not asking you to believe all the same way. I certainly do not want that. I don't want you to believe me. I don't want you to take me for granted. I'm not going to be like Glenn Beck and Bill O'Reilly and all these other guys and said, well, I did this and I did that, so I say this, so I'm right and you're wrong. I'm not going to do that. Challenging you to learn for yourself. I don't ever want you to go up to somebody and say, well, I heard on American Unleashed this and this, and so that's the way it is. Because if I hear you say that, I'm going to dump a cold water on your head because you're doing it wrong. I want you to say, well, I heard him say this, but then I read this book, and I read that book, and I heard what this person said, and I remember what this politician said back in the day, and oh my gosh, they've been doing it to us for all these years. It turns out, and the media has been lying to us. My gosh, my history teacher in fifth grade lied to me about the war between the states. Oh my goodness, my teacher in college lied to me about the World War II and what happened there. And you're going to realize that a lot of these people did lie to you. Not necessarily intentionally, because I don't think a lot of teachers out there do that intentionally. I know there are some who do. I've ran into a few of them. But the deal is an educator wants to educate. They want your mind to grow. They want knowledge to grow because they know, the good ones know, that knowledge is power. Money is a tiny, minuscule, pathetic thing when it comes to knowledge. So when I talk to young people, I say, if you ever want to do anything, collect degrees. Collect knowledge. I said, when I come to visit you in your home when you're 40 years old, I want to see a room in your house that you've turned into a library. I want you to have categories of books on the different things you love to look at and the things you love to study, whatever it may be. My particular niche in history is World War II and the Pacific Theater, namely from Pearl Harbor to the USS Indianapolis, with such things as the Doolittle Raid and Midway and all that in between. It's just fascinating to me, and so I love it, and so I've read a ton of stuff about it. I've even taught a lecture on it a few times. And I want you to get to the point where somebody's asking you to do that, where you've got a subject that you know so well. And I don't care if it's World War II in the Pacific Theater. I don't care if it's... We now have colleges around the world who are giving minor degrees in Taylor Swift's music. What is the influence of Taylor Swift's music? We're going to give you a minor degree in that. I'll never remember the movie PCU, which a lot of people kind of thought was a bit of a follow-up to Animal House. But Jeremy Piven's character in there that says, hey, you can even major in Game Boy if you know how to bullshit. And at some levels in colleges, it's almost true. Because now what do we have? We have the gamer leagues in the NCAA, and those have become a thing that you can major in and qualify for in college, and also writing video games. Oh, do you create video games? Well, dude, it's a hobby, dude. That's what we did in the 80s, man. That was a cool thing to do in a hobby, but it wasn't a tech thing. It wasn't a degree thing yet. Today it is. So you can specialize in all kinds of things, but find the things you like. Find the things you love. Find the things that give you passion. Find the things that make you emotional. You know, it wasn't that long ago I did one of those ancestry DNA things to find out my heritage because I'm adopted, and it turns out I'm Scottish and Greek. Well, now when I go to a specific show here in Branson, who's the tenor of the show, I'll just say it, it's the Irish tenors and the Celtic ladies, and they do the songs for Scotland, I tear up, and I feel proud. I take my hat off, and it's like when I hear the Star Spangled Banner, I want to stand when I hear some of these songs and show honor and respect to them because they're part of my heritage. And Scottish and, well, oil and water may not mix, but apparently oil and whiskey do. Anyway, but I need you to get passionate about your subjects. Get to know them. They don't have to be everything. Don't take an overall, and we'll go back to the global warming thing for a minute. Global warming is what I call an umbrella scam. Underneath this umbrella, the umbrella is global warming, but underneath it are all the different points. You know, and some of them are the coral reefs, and some of them are shark finning, and some of them are sea turtles, and other legitimate issues that are really out there, like the wildfires, or littering. Basic littering, when you throw something out of your car, or you leave a bunch of crap laying around the campgrounds after you've been camping. Those are literal environmental issues. But when you've got things like the polar bear scare. Recently, we had that picture of the polar bear out there clinging to the ice. He was clinging for life. No, he wasn't. He was taking a nap. That's just the first picture they've gotten in 15 years or so that actually shows a polar bear somewhat at risk, that could be interpreted as at risk, when the fact is that over the last 50 years, the polar bear population has increased by 250%. Their environment is not disappearing. Polar ice caps are not melting. Because according to Al Gore, we should have already been underwater. Every year they change the number again. Oh, it's 12 years now. No, actually we're going to do 15 years from now. Well, no, we're going to do this now. Like I said, every generation has their fear-mongering story. At one point it was paper bags, then it was plastic bags, then it was straws. And I'll tell you, the one thing about straws that got to me was the fact that I would constantly see paper straws in a plastic wrapper. Someone explain that one to me, please. Paper straw, plastic wrapper, because we're trying to cut down on plastic. Okay. We're going to talk about issues that are there simply to distract you. We brought up abortion earlier. It has been made out to be this huge monstrous topic so that every time it comes up, all the networks talk about it, they flood you with it, and they do this to distract you from the big issues. And abortion is an important issue. There is no doubt about the fact that it is an important issue, but they will use it as a distraction point because it is so compelling. It does automatically set some people off so quickly. They know it's a flashpoint issue. That's one of the terms that's out there. It's a flashpoint issue. And you need to know when they're hitting you with a flashpoint issue instead of telling you what's really going on. And then you got a media filled with fluff. I mean, what's one of the big stories right now is Beyonce, supposedly, I mean that very, very heavily, supposedly has the number one country music song out there. No, she doesn't. Just because she sings it and puts a twang in there and because record labels puts country on it and radio stations play it does not make it country. I've known some of the biggest country stars in history, like Mickey Gilley and Glenn Campbell and Kenny Rogers and Charlie Pride and all kinds of people. And I can tell you right now, probably a good 50% of what we hear on some country stations is not country. Then at one point, we're leading up to it, so at some point we're going to take a spot in here and we're going to talk about the election. And I'm not going to endorse people. I'm not going to say, I want you to vote for this, I want you to vote for that. I'm going to tell you, I want you to vote for freedom first. I want you to go through the criteria. I want you to ask yourself, I want you to take the issue and say, well, am I educated about it? Do I know everything about this issue I need to know? Have I been vigilant over the people who are saying things? Have I been vigilant over myself and the different changes that are happening over this issue as the election progresses? Who's the responsibility fall on for this issue? the PAC taxpayers have the responsibility? Do the politicians have the responsibility? Does Dave down the street have the responsibility? Does Margaret, the nice girl down at the ice cream shop, have the responsibility? And then the accountability. Not just before, but after. Who's accountable for this before the issue? And who's accountable after it's put into place and after it's up and going? And you have to ask yourself these questions on every candidate, on every issue, if you want to put freedom first, because then you can whittle it down and say, okay, does this take away from my freedom or anyone else's? Does this infringe on anybody's freedom? And by that, I'm talking about legal American citizens. I'm not talking about illegals. I'm talking about dreamers, which, good grief, that's a ridiculous term. Ridiculously misused term. It's used for guilt. Oh my gosh, these children are dreamers, and you're taking things away from these children who are dreaming. People, it's about guilt trips. Trust me, I've got a family member who could give lessons on guilt tripping to a Jewish mother-in-law. And you've got to know when that's being done to you. You've got to know when you're being lied to. You've got to know when you're being swindled and hoodwinked. You got to know when you're being flabbergasted. You've got to realize in yourself when an issue comes up and you react to it. Am I reacting rationally? Am I reacting reasonably? Or am I just plain shatterpated? You don't know what shatterpated is? Ask me online, I'll tell you. Not to be confused with Twitterpated. That's different, and that has nothing to do with Twitter or Elon Musk. Well, we've got different words in different areas of the country which people use, which sometimes help describe something better than the way you've heard it before. Don't be afraid to meet new people in new areas. You know, I've been to New York City 15, 18 times. I really don't care for it. I'm always happy when I leave. I usually go there for an event, for a specific reason. When I'm there, I go and do the great things, like I go up in the Statue of Liberty. Been up in that thing 5 or 6 times. I was at the top of the World Trade Center on a couple of occasions. Pre-2001, of course. And we have to understand the other people in our country. We've got to be willing to understand them. If you want to be a part of it. If you don't, walk away. But when you're going to walk away from the rest of the people in the country just because they're different from you, do us all a favor and walk away from the voting booth, too. Because if you're going to be that close-minded, you're going to be part of the problem, not the part of the solution. And if I'm going to talk about solutions, I'm going to tell you what else I'm going to do in the shows, is I am going to give you solutions. I'm not just going to sit there and talk for 15, 20 minutes about a specific issue and not give you the solution. Because we need solutions. We need to talk about it. Earlier, I gave you some ideas about abortion that would tick off both sides of the aisle instantly. I want to have people coming at me from both sides on the issue. And you know what? Bring it on. Because I'm coming from a point of common sense, reason, freedom first. I'm asking you to be accountable for your choices and your decisions. So when we do that episode on abortion, I'm going to tell you what, I'm going to piss off every single one of you. And that's what I want to do. I want to challenge everyone listening to this right now to turn off your television, find that issue that means something to you. Don't just go pick something because some talking head or some celebrity told you it's important. Celebrities out there in L.A. and New York, they don't know squat. They really don't. They live in a bubble with all these people around them who research for them, who honestly, a lot of them are influenced under the table and closed doors, whatever you call it, to tell their celebrity this or that or to get them to do this or that. And then you have the political side of it who says, oh, well, you're in the elite. You're up in the shining royal elite with us. But we can't let the peons get up here with us. We can't let them come be part of this group. So you need to do one thing and then tell them another. And I don't know how many people would do that. Beyonce, I mentioned her earlier. She is always talking about how bad guns are, how we need to take guns away from people. And yet she walks around with more armed guards around here than just about any celebrity out there. And she comes out dressed in bullets around her. At a Super Bowl show. You know, those straps that got all the bullets in them and all this stuff. And she talks, and her husband does songs, rap songs about guns and violence and all this other stuff. The hypocrisy is scary. And we're going to do a show about our Second Amendment and the fact that it is basically absolute. Shall not be infringed means shall not be infringed. And it had absolutely nothing to do with hunting. It has very little to do with home security. And what it has to do with the people being able to step up and take our country back when it's needed. And like I said, our founding fathers would be way past that point by now. Our founding fathers would be stacking bodies in the corner by now. Because we are so far away from what America is supposed to be. And one of the main reasons that we've got so many people who fall into this category, well, life's not fair. Oh, that's not fair. You're not wanting me to be equal. Aren't you diverse? I'm whatever the hell I choose to be, as you are. And I'm not telling you have to believe the way I do. I'm asking you to take responsibility, to hold yourself accountable, to be vigilant on the topics you love and become educated in them. And that means you read the opinions you don't like. That means you listen to the opinions you don't like. That means you think for just a second, holy crap, I may be completely wrong on this. And again, I'm not targeting a specific issue. I'm not targeting specific people on that. I'm saying anyone on any subject at any time. You have to question yourself. You have to question what's going on in the world. And especially when they tell you not to question. Remember when they told you during 2020, oh, don't question the science. How dare you question the science? Well, I hate to break it to you, but questioning the science is actually what science is all about. That is probably the prime factor of science, is to question the science, to say, what did we get wrong before? What can we get right now? Were we wrong on this? That's why science develops and grows. That's why religion doesn't. Again, my apologies to my friends who are believers. That's fine. You believe what you want to do, but you keep that to yourself. You don't use that to influence my life. You influence your own life however you want to do it. But whether side you're on, whether you decide that science or religion is what you worship, you make sure that it does not infringe on my freedom. And that is the whole goal. So I am challenging everyone out there to ask yourself, when you come up to an issue, when you want to react to someone online, are you educated about that issue? Have you been vigilant about the issues around that issue? What is your responsibility? And are people being held accountable? And what is your accountability in what you say? So the next time you get online and you figure, oh, I'm just going to call somebody a boomer. Okay, boomer. Oh, my God, I just won an argument. No, you didn't. You just showed off that you don't know anything about your subject. And you don't know what a boomer is. Because those flash terms that the media loves to spoon feed to the masses are probably the worst things that are out there. Because they prove nothing, they do nothing, and they make the weak feel empowered in false ways. You're not empowered. You're showing off how weak you really are. So if you want to talk about a subject, you get on there and you talk about the subject. You're willing to listen to opinions that are not the same as yours. And that is my challenge to each and every one of you. Don't believe me. I don't want you to trust me. I don't want you to take my word for anything. Except when it comes to freedom first, I want you to challenge yourself for those four things that are the price for freedom first. Get educated, be vigilant, take responsibility, and hold accountable yourself and others for the decisions that are made. Now, you can get online and call me a right-winger, a left-winger, a Henry Winkler, whatever, I don't care. Name-calling doesn't bother me, I've had plenty of it. I'm short, I'm fat, and I'm not that good-looking, so I've been called all kinds of crazy names. You know, I mean, I was adopted because I was left on the doorsteps of a monastery by a family of bridge trolls who just thought I was just too dadgum ugly for the family. Either that or I was created in a mad science lab somewhere in the Nevada desert. I'm not sure which. We're still trying to narrow it down through science. But anyway, when they tell you not to question is when you question the most. And I'm telling you to question a lot. I'm telling you to question me. I'm telling you to question anything and everything you get online, but be willing to learn. Be willing to understand that you might be wrong. I'm not telling you that you are. I'm asking you to accept the possibility that you might be. That's it. I'm not ever going to sit here and say, oh, well, once in a while we're going to come up and I'm going to present you with facts, and I'm going to say, this is not true. Or I'm going to bring something else in. Here's the stats, here's the data, here's the deals. This is true. And I'm going to be able to back it up. But I want you to question everything that comes up. Be willing to question. Don't just sit there and read it and say, oh, well, if the media didn't report on it, then it couldn't have happened that way. Oh, boy, are you in trouble. Because if you trust the media that much, oh, please stay home on Election Day. Please, for the sake of all of us. If you're still that sunk into the media, oh, my word, you really need to turn the TV off and pick up a book. My goodness. Ladies and gentlemen, I thank you for listening to the first episode of American Unleashed. I didn't know I didn't sound too unleashed today on a few occasions, maybe here and there. I will be more unleashed as we go along, trust me. As we get on certain subjects, I'm going to be unleashed on a lot of things. Because I'm sick and tired of the nonsense from both sides, like a lot of you are. It's time for us to be accountable, responsible, educated, and brave in standing up for our country and what we believe in. Do yourselves a favor, get educated, turn off those unless it's reruns of House or MASH or Home Improvement, WKRP in Cincinnati. We're in a radio station, so I have to mention WKRP in Cincinnati, one of my favorite shows of all time. Watch some of that stuff and have some fun. Never be afraid to put a movie in that's just, we mentioned Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory earlier. That's one of the movies, just because I want noise in the house, I'll stick Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory in the player and let it run. And it's fun. But when you want to talk about issues, when you want to get into the political side and you want to get into the life side and what happens that changes our lives on a daily basis, you need to make sure you know what you're talking about. So please, American Unleashed on Facebook, get on there, ask questions, give us statements, give us credits, let us know what's going on, what you think. I don't care about what Glenn Beck thinks. I don't care about what Jimmy Kimmel thinks. I don't want to know about a skit they did on Saturday Night Live. I want to know what you think. And that's what I'm asking of you. Next time we come in here, we're going to talk about words and phrases and the importance of communications and the English language. We're going to talk about the lost art of context and intent. Probably two of the most important words in the English language when it comes to communication. I want you to have a great weekend. I will see you soon. Remain strong. Remain vigilant. Question everybody, including me. And always put freedom first.